Welcome to Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio, powered by The Barbershop. In this podcast, we'll bring you the latest insights and trends from industry leaders in advertising and marketing. Join us as we dive into discussions that shape the future of our industry.
Hello, hello, welcome to our session, Journalists Tell All. It's great to be back at Advertising Week Europe. I'm Bramwell Johnson. I'm Group Director of Content at Propeller. We're a specialist B2B PR, content and new business agency. And we've run this session for several years now at Advertising Week Europe, where we bring high quality, high caliber editorial decision makers on stage and talk to them about what shapes the decisions they make, why they choose the stories they choose, what might help them choose those stories, how they want to be pitched to, all kinds of relevant questions to put to them. This year, we've got a fantastic panel we have here. Alex Farber, who is media correspondent for The Times, popularizes media trends and makes them relevant to consumers. In previous incarnations, Alex has worked on the fondly remembered New Media Age title and worked at Broadcast for many years. Then we have Alice Denby, who's recently come aboard City AM as comment and features editor. She's previously been editor of the online comment site CapX. And if you've been keeping up with the news, you know that last year City AM was bought by the Hut Group, which puts kind of interesting wrinkle on that particular publication. At the far end, probably familiar to many of you, is Omar Oakes, who is editor-in-chief of The Media Leader and, of course, was news editor at Campaign for many years as well. So, fantastic panel of editorial experts here. As a former journalist myself, I do have some sympathy and empathy with the pressures and challenges they go through every day, but I will also know if they're bullshitting a bit. We're going to run for 25 minutes, and hopefully we can squeeze in a couple of questions at the end. We'll have to see how we go. But shall we get into it? All right, I'm going to give you an easy kind of lowball question. What's the point of your titles now? By what I mean by that is the readers you have can go and find information in many other ways and many other sources and many other channels. The businesses and advertisers your titles might work with have their own channels. They have events and newsletters and social media platforms and websites. So what is the relevance of the titles you represent, do you think, at the moment? And Alex, you're next to me, so I'm going to have to kick off.
So I would say that the job of The Times is to distill and aggregate. There's such a lot of news out there these days, isn't there? You know, it's happening faster than ever. More and more channels, as you say, and opportunities to consume news. And I feel that our job is to try and aggregate, distill, and provide some, you know, high quality analysis around events. You know, they're very much moving. We are very much moving towards a sort of less is more strategy, particularly online. So rather than a very broad brush approach, we're looking to offer our readers and subscribers a really high quality and smaller group of stories to really help them get under the skin of what's happening in current affairs across the piece.
Thank you.
I say City AM is there to be a voice for business and a voice for London, and a voice that's unashamedly sort of pro-growth, pro-business, and about the good that business can do, and making the case that businesses aren't just about benefiting the elite. They're about creating jobs, creating prosperity, and benefiting everybody in society, and doing that in a way that is fun and entertaining. We're business with personality, and that's what we're here to do. And I think that that's a case that's more important than ever to make in the current political climate, and to be unashamedly saying, look, when London succeeds, the whole country succeeds.
Cheers, Alice. Thank you. And Omar, your particular area for your
reason. What's the point of me? The point of our publication, The Media Leader, is very much we branded it from what was a title called Media Tell News a couple of years ago. We write about advertising and the media, but very much the commercial side of the media. We felt that there was a gap in the market for us to do that, but we also felt that there was more fundamentally a gap to, similar to what Alex said just now, a gap in just having quality insight, analysis, and commentary in the trade publication space. And you know, what's the point of what we do? It's about building a team of journalists, which I've what I've been doing since the 3 years since I've been there, where we are writing analysis every day about what's going on. So I hope if you're visiting themedialeader.com and you're reading what we do, you'll hope that you actually understand what's going on in this industry a bit better, as opposed to just, you know, just getting a load of headlines, which frankly you could get, you know, if you were just keeping on top of what the press releases are. I think we're in a world now where there is just too much information, and there's a real advantage to being able to offer that quality insight, reference points, just to understand what's going on. And to actually be transparent with readers about where you're coming from as a publication, what you're offering, what you're not doing, because it's about building that long-term relationship with readers. That's very much what we try to do.
Okay, well, having established the importance of your titles in the world, you've said, Omar, there's so much information, so much news, so many stories, undoubtedly so many pitches coming into your intro. What makes a good story or commentary piece, analysis case, what makes a good story for you? What's the first kind of thing that gets your intuition twitching and thinking, yeah, that's something I want to follow up, or get some of my team to follow up, if you've got lucky enough to have a team? Start at your end, Omar, if we can.
I think particularly we might start talking about AI at some point, but I think we all kind of run into the problem where we really need to justify our existence. So we need to justify with a story why this matters. And I imagine for many of you in the audience, it's about justifying to your clients, if you work for different clients, about how can I tell the company's benefits and how can I communicate that via publication. But I think in playing that game, we all forget that stories are essentially about human beings. And so how would I advise you to pitch a story? Why does a story matter through our eyes? It's about, well, how does it actually matter to the people that work our industry? Never forget that, you know, we are only rational to a point as human beings. We still crave stories, connection, something surprising, some personal journey. Be honest, be transparent about this was the challenge we faced. This was maybe the failure that we faced, and this is how we overcame it. Because our audience wants to know. Our audience are people that work in media, that work in advertising. They're trying to do their jobs better. That's why they consume our publication. But they can only do that by connecting through stories. So whether it's a personal story, whether it's a big idea, whether it's some amazing results, the fundamentals of storytelling don't change. And I sometimes think that we try to be maybe a bit too clever playing this game and we forget that.
Yeah, why should people care about this? You know, I think something The Times is about, it's obviously a very big mass market paper. And I'm on the home news section as opposed to the business section, which is a different desk, and they maybe make different decisions. But the sort of way I'm approaching things and the people I've got to sell my stories into is, why would your mum and dad care about this? You know, are these names that you've heard of? You know, is there some controversy here? Is there some friction or tension? But a lot of it does come down, from my point of view, to having those individuals or those brands that really resonate and have a sort of mass awareness. It's not about Googling, oh, well, who's that? You know, or who are they? Because they don't really have enough cut through to spark the interest of my editors, who I've got to effectively pitch to once I've been pitched to.
Yeah, I think with opinion, the main thing is to have an opinion. You'd be surprised the number of pitches I get that are so generic and bland, and clearly just some client trying to get their name in a paper. Have an opinion, have a really good topical peg. Why does someone want to read about this today? And have an angle that no one else is talking about. So, you know, maybe that's a really unpopular opinion. We published something in the run-up to the budget from a business leader, very much in defense of non-doms. So that's the sort of thing, like, of course people are going to want to read that. Like, who's going to make the case for why non-doms are good for society? So yeah, have an opinion and have a really good topical peg, whether that's something that's happening in politics or in popular culture. I think that's it.
Yeah, topicality is good. I think topicality is important, but there's kind of trends that you can tap into. Is there a wider sort of thing happening in the market that you can kind of shine a light on. I often think that that's something that plays well. And also thinking about visually, what does a story look like? You know, can this dress up nicely on the page? You know, because they're looking to fill a newspaper still. We're very much digital first, but they are, guys are still there publishing a daily newspaper with, you know, many, many pages. And often you get sort of stories that are more sort of sparking debate, you know, talk stories with a bit of talkability. I worked on a story last year with one of Bramwell's colleagues at Propeller about, you know, fashion models and male, the way in which men are portrayed in advertising as very hunky, which didn't necessarily marry with men's mental health and how they saw themselves. And they liked that story, not because it was hugely topical, although mental health is a big issue, but also just because there were some lovely pictures of some nice men in their little fudgy smugglers, and it kind of worked as a talking point. So, you know, there's always sort of ways to think laterally around things. It's not always news.
Can I pick up just two quick things of things you've mentioned already? First of all, pictures, that's a good thing to make a mental note about for anyone in PR and comms. Think of a picture as well. If it's got budgie smugglers in, obviously it's a bonus, but pictures are very important, as Alex has said. And just picking back to something you said there, Alice, it's the counterintuitive opinion piece that's the important one, not going with the mainstream.
Yeah.
Not saying, you know, that Apple ad from last week or the week before is terrible, but more a nuanced kind of appreciation and discussion about it. That's what you're kind of saying.
Definitely.
Zig when others are zagging, or zag when others are zigging. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I want an opinion that you haven't read somewhere else.
Exactly.
And what I would pick up on, as well as thinking about the pictures, we do have to think about SEO as well. So we do have to think about what people are searching for online. So you know, we do sometimes look at things like Google Trends to see if, you know, what people are searching for. And pictures are really important online and on social media as well. And I think it's one of the issues with so many pictures you're getting on like ESG and AI. You're like, how do you have another picture of like a robot, like so these things are really important.
Well, you've brought analytics to the fore there, which I was going to mention myself because hasn't been talked about so far. Clicks, do you look at data analytics of stories that are being read, the most popular stories? Do you try and find new angles and ways to expand those stories because you know that they're getting read? And I'm avoiding the word clickbait in headlines deliberately, but you know what I'm saying. Are you watching the readership trends and trying to produce more of the same content, Omar?
Not really, to be honest. Okay. We look at the longer term trends over a period of months about how our audience is performing and generally what sorts of stories that they're gravitating to. But to be honest, we generally don't internally report very much in terms of analytics, in terms of this story as well. We need to double down on this because we tend to take a longer view where, number one, we're a specialist publication. So we're not in the game of, you mentioned the word clickbait, we're not in the game of really punchy headline that's going to draw people in because we'll sell advertising off the back of it. We are in the business of building longer-term relationships with our readers. We make money principally through events. So we run events like The Future of Media, which is launching in Manchester for the first time in September, after in London very successfully for 3 years. We've got Future of TV Advertising Global. If the content is not good on the Media Leader, because our journalists are not just writing content for the website, they're heavily involved in creating the agendas for these events as well, then people aren't going to keep coming back to the website, and they're certainly not going to keep coming to our events. People, you know, generally are going to the office, what, 2-3 days a week? They're not going to spend half a day, a whole day at one of our events unless they're guaranteed this is worth going to. So our publication is at the heart of that, and it's really important. So generally, we look at the longer term trends, but it's more about actually what's the feedback that we're getting? And we're constantly talking to market and getting better at doing that.
Okay. You got anything you want to add, Alex, about analytics?
I think, you know, again, we're a paywall business, a subscription business. So it's not as if we're chasing a volume clicks game, which slightly protects us from that. But analytics are very much at the heart of the business, and they have lots of people working on that kind of that area. And, you know, there's a kind of innate knowledge of the kind of things that do well. You know, who is saying something is often very important. It's not necessarily what they're saying. You know, I wrote a story yesterday about Jane Judy Dench. It's easier to write than say. About trigger warnings in theatres. Now, that's really only flew because it's Dench saying it. If it was a small little theatre in Bristol, for example, it probably wouldn't have the same clout. Well, it wouldn't, because, you know, I guess SEO, there's a degree to which the names are what draws you into a story often. And yeah, they've got those perennial evergreen topics such as the BBC, which we write about a lot, because that's something that they know resonates with readers. So yeah, they're definitely keeping a close eye on the figures. And as I said, trying to work towards this kind of less is more approach.
Okay.
But I think you're ad funded, right? So I don't know if it's a different model.
We are definitely a kind of online, and we're in an expansionist mode digitally. So we definitely do look at clicks. We get quite competitive on the desks, like which desk is getting the most clicks. But I do find that it's not about clickbait at all. It's about having that really topical peg that people are really interested in searching for, and then having a really quality piece that keeps people engaged. And I also think that for us, well, for me anyway, as the editor, I want to make sure that the opinion desk is getting a lot of traffic for good quality pieces, to make sure that my juniors can write, you know, can be creative and write the stuff that they're really interested in, or that we can push the sort of agenda stuff that perhaps has a more specialized readership, but that we think is really important for the paper. So I feel like if we've got our clicks kind of covered, we can do the more strategic stuff without having to worry about that.
Okay. By the way, if you do have a question, put it through Slido on the show app, and we'll see if we can get to any questions by the end. Let's take that diversion into AI. Now we've talked about trends, themes, what SEO and what might be, you know, might be in the public domain. You might be bored to death by now of pitches about AI. What kind of stories around AI would you be interested in? Go on, Alex.
So there was a real... They've moved away. So we cover AI. We did cover AI, and there is still appetite for it. They've slightly moved on from it now. I think there's a lot of focus on something. There's a lot of heat in topics, and then there's a kind of loss of appetite. It kind of becomes diminishing returns a bit. So that's definitely something that's a consideration. So I guess now in terms of AI, it's still around disruption, friction. You know, it's obviously, there's a lot of legislation going through. I suppose it's the way in which it's continuing to change jobs and roles and the impacts that is having, you know, for those legacy roles. I don't know if it's terribly more sophisticated than that, to be honest, but there is a degree to which there was a lot of heat around it from a consumer point of view. And then I think people slightly got bored with hearing about it, a mainstream audience, that is. So yeah, the bar has raised a little bit in terms of my ability to get AI stories across the line.
I agree with that. And with opinion, it's very difficult to hear a new opinion on AI. I mean, and I find like a lot of the pitches that I'm getting about it just seem to be coming from people who just want their client next to the word AI. And I get it, it's because that's where all the money is flowing to, but that's not very interesting for a general reader. I'm not really commissioning a lot of AI stuff at the moment, unless there's something amazing or a really, really unique angle. But I don't think there's much to say about it at the moment. But that'll probably change as the technology progresses.
Omar?
I think covering media and advertising, AI remains the big, big story. And it's, if you talk to people working in agencies or at media owners, we still don't really know the ramifications of how this industry, if you look, even if we're sitting here again in 5 years' time, how changed it's going to be. I wrote a column about this. I write a Monday weekly column, and I wrote about this a couple of weeks ago, where everyone's sort of gone quiet in agency land when it talks about AI. After, to your point, everyone wanted their name to be next to those letters last year. The thing is, everyone's now realized, oh, there are massive issues with copyright. There is massive issues with data protection and privacy, and a lot of brands are telling their agencies, we do not want you touching AI and our brand. It creates all sorts of problems, which I won't get into, we haven't gone off time. But we're still working our way through it. I keep on referring to, I love this David Bowie quote from, I think Paxman was interviewing him in 1999 or 2000, and he described the internet as an alien, and we haven't worked out how it's landed on Earth, and we're all living around it. And AI is the latest iteration of how us all being connected and having machines doing that is just going to change everything that we do. And I think we're in that mode where we're in that stage of the hype cycle where we know it's big, but it's got a bit boring. But I think it's going to be like all these things where metaverse, it's going to come back, and we're actually going to realize, oh, these are the applications of it.
And
we're not there yet.
Sorry, Omar. I think when the big brands start moving into it in a serious way, like I think I did a piece last year about how ad agencies are adopting AI to create ad campaigns. I'm sure you know all about this. And, you know, so there was some Domino's and McDonald's. I don't know. I think they were mock-ups. But as and when those guys really start to embrace it, then I think, you know, there might be, because it's got those names that people will are interested in.
Okay. All right, I'm going to move a little bit more into your kind of granular relationship with PR and comms and how you want to be pitched and what you don't like. So if you were talking to a PR or comms person right now, what would you ask from them if they're going to pitch you a story? What do they need to put in front of you? You go on, Dave.
I just think have some awareness of the title that you're pitching into. I just think sending a hi, blah, 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 and it's just not in any way, it's never going to, I mean, you just think, have I ever seen a story like this in the newspaper? And if you've never seen, and I appreciate there's a pray and spray approach and you can just, yeah, send all, bash it out on your distribution list, see what comes back. But I don't know the extent to which that's, you know, going to get you very far. And you just think, if I open a copy of the paper, am I going to see that story? Or how could I see this story? And I think if you try and approach it with a little bit more thought, which I appreciate is difficult because everyone's very busy, that's the best chance of getting something over the line, because it is a team effort, you know, and then we can talk about, okay, yeah, I can see what you're doing there. Let's try and work this up into something. And I think that's the best approach.
Yeah, I mean, I think similarly, make sure it's tailored to the publication. I mean, don't pitch CityM something about, I don't know, something international or that's, I don't know, not about London or business, and make sure it's fun and interesting. So like, what's the peg and what's the angle? Those are the two things I want to know. And I'll take it from there, I guess.
Similar to what they've just said, I mean, really, the better chance you'll have is the better you actually take the time to find out what the publication is about and what its audience is likely to be interested in. You know, we serve our audience, and our audience is a specialist audience of media owners, media planners, buyers, vendors, researchers, planners. So what would they be interested in, which doesn't sound like rocket science, but also we are very big on Media Leader about championing our values: disruption, inclusion, courage, excellence. Just so happens to be an anagram of dice. We didn't mean that, but if you're going to roll the dice with us, it's about, you know, what does disruption, what does that mean? Ask us, what does inclusion mean? That is a buzzword. What does that actually mean? And we write loads about that. It's about taking the time to do that, and actually, what would mean most to our audience?
Okay, I'm going to pull some of the questions we've got coming up on the slide out. And is a granular one. Is there a best time of day or week to pitch ideas? That's the kind of thing PR and comms people need to know. You know, what's your cycle of the day?
Well, I ideally not at 5:30 in the evening. You know, I'd say earlier in the day the better, but that doesn't mean 9:00 in the morning. So no, I wouldn't say so. I mean, before lunchtime any day, you know, I'm always working, really.
Always.
Sadly.
But I usually go through my inbox when I get into the office, so before 10 a.m. Yeah, definitely not late in the evening, and earlier in the week the better, because we sort of Thursday and Friday are more relaxed days, so I sort of front load the week.
Yeah, in general I would say earlier the better, and as much as you can, give us stuff under embargo, because the more time that you have to actually look at a piece, take the time, talk to contacts about it, and build up a really good story, the more chance it will have.
Okay, and what about channels of communication? I mean, it's emails, you know, it's obviously the traditional way. Do your teams, are they receptive to other channels, social media channels, or even phone calls?
I hate phone calls, sorry.
It's fine, isn't it? Honest, you know, truth.
Yeah, mostly email. And if there's some contacts that I know really well, WhatsApp, but mainly just email.
Yeah, I mean, email, obviously, but we're experimenting with WhatsApp as well, actually having some curated groups with key contacts that, you know, it's a mechanism for us to broadcast what we're after as well. So wouldn't it be nice if we actually told you every day what we're interested in? We're experimenting with that, rather than just having the publication be this black box and not being sure what's going to work for us. We want to get better at that, so I would invite you to contact me, and if you have ideas for how we can do better at that, we're playing around with stuff. Yeah,
I mean, email is obviously a good first thing, but then I don't mind a phone call. You know, it's easy. Sometimes it's good to have a conversation. I always, you know, one bugbear of mine is comms people that don't have their numbers on their email signatures, because I think, you know, you're in communications, communicate. And, you know, if I want to be able to get hold of you, you know, I like to be able to pick up the phone.
Oh, that one, I'm sure, will be noted.
You've written that down, bruv.
I'll be reminding the team later. Yes. Challenging question. You know, lots has changed in the world of medium in publishing in the last decade, and so many different pressures. Do you think the PR agencies or industry has kept up, or are they still acting as if it's business as usual in the same way they might have done for the last 10, 20 years when so many things are changing on your side of the fence? Omar, you got an opinion on that?
I think so, yeah. I mean, Alex talked about spray and pray. I think there's still a lot of that. And I think this room is actually a good representation of what's going on here, because there are loads of you, if you're all PR comms people, and there are three of us. And that's kind of how the industry is. So the problem with spray and pray is there aren't many of us to spray on. It's probably a good thing. So again, tailoring your message is really important, but actually giving longer lead times if you really want a story to land, taking the time to actually figure out what a publication is about. But actually, opinion is really important as well. Even though it might be pitching a news story, again, I come back to the importance of humans and storytelling. How does this matter to the people that are involved in this business thing that you're pitching?
I think opinion feels like it's more important than ever, like debate, you know, maybe it's a bad thing. Maybe the kind of online environment is very divisive, but it does feel like a counterintuitive opinion is what can get a lot of attention. And I think if anything, quality opinion is more.
Does it matter if that counterintuitive opinion, I don't know, if you sense it's someone playing devil's advocate rather than a truly held opinion, does that matter?
No, I think authenticity really matters as well. Yes, I think it has to be a truly held and well-expressed opinion. But I think sparking debate, I think, is really valuable for getting attention in the current media landscape.
Okay, thank you for that. You've already mentioned it, you know, the number of PR people is rising, number of journalists are shrinking. What does that mean for addressing complex stories that may need some nuance, may, you know, they're not immediately explainable in 200 words or 400 words? You know, you're busy. How do these more complex stories, how are they approached? How can the PR people help you tell more complex stories? Yeah, be up to that, Alex.
I mean, the most complicated stories I've worked on probably haven't involved PR people, to be perfectly honest. It's about getting under the skin of businesses, you know, working your contacts. You know, having said that, you know, I've got some good comms contacts who I've worked with many, very closely for many years, who are plugged into businesses, who will help me, who will, you know, speak to me often on background about what's really happening inside an organization or other organizations. And that's invaluable. You know, I consider those to be, you know, as useful sources as, you know, executives, as it were, because these are people that are, you know, knowledgeable, communicative, articulate, and understand what news is. So, you know, I just think it's a team sport in many respects. And I just think.
Okay. Yeah, I think you almost need to think about what you do before you send the press release. Think about what's this journalist or this publication interested in, and who do I represent that would be a really good contact for them? And let's set up a briefing. This person can tell you, we were talking about AI, this person really knows that they're talking about AI. Set up a chat with that journalist. So when it comes time to do the in-depth piece, that's going to be the first person that they think about. That's extremely valuable. And I don't see a lot of PR comms people doing that.
So off the record briefings or contextual briefings that are kind of banking goodwill, but not expect the PR shouldn't expect an immediate kind of.
Because with gross respect, we don't want to talk to you. We want to talk to the people you represent. If they're worth talking to and going to help us with the story, we want that direct contact. And the more that you can facilitate that in advance, the more helpful for us.
And I would say opinion's slightly different, obviously, to news. But I think what we are trying to do with opinion is to influence decision makers, right? So sometimes what it needs, if you're talking about a regulation or something that a business feels is holding them back, it needs a business leader to say it. But sometimes actually it's better coming from a journalist who might be sympathetic. So sometimes a background briefing doesn't mean that it's not a win for your client. They're getting their message across, but it may not be that they're the right spokesman for it. You know, you're like, yeah, a lot of the time you want a sort of comment journalist to write the comment article.
That's interesting. Right, we're being flashed at. I'm afraid we've run out of time. Could sit here for ages and talk about many of these issues, but for now, can you just give a big round of applause, please, to Alex, and Omar, and hopefully you've got some useful information to take away and make use of. Thank you very much, panel.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio. Stay connected with us on social media using the handle @AdvertisingWeek and visit our website europe.advertisingweek.com for more exclusive content. This podcast was produced by Podcander, the audio conference solution.